And away we go. It is Friday, February the 5th, 2021, 15 minutes past the hour. You are tuned into the Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship, live here on WWGH Radio every Friday from 11:10 a.m. till 12 p.m. Repeats Sunday morning from 8:10 a.m. till 9 a.m. and then on Wednesday from 3:10 until 4 p.m. And you can listen to past episodes on the website WWGH1071.com. Go to archive shows and search out the Pastor Spot, and all the programs are right there. And I will turn this over to the host of the program, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Pastor, how are you?
I am great. Hello, Mary. It's a beautiful, beautiful sunny Friday morning. I'm here this morning with Scott and Steve, and we are sponsored by Peter Christian Fellowship, along with Jeff's Bicycle Shop Water Street in Prospect, and Mid-Ohio Insurance Solutions. So I want to get that those mentioned, and what a beautiful day it is.
It is. It's a great day.
Just seeing that sun out. You know, I can handle the cold when the sun's shining, but it could be 20 degrees warmer and cloudy, and I wouldn't like it as much. The cold is bad when the bright sun's shining and making us feel alive out there, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
I really do. Been a lot of stuff going on this week, this month. This morning I think I'll take a little bit of a break from any talk about Washington, D.C. It kind of feels like you ever drink a milkshake straight down? And you just feel how that bloated feeling? Well, that's about how I feel about that, so we'll take a break from that today. And all those things going on. But it's interesting, some of the current events and things that are going on outside of Washington. I was watching the other day a television show, that one of the network shows, and it was a recent one because they were wearing masks, so I knew it was a recent one. They were talking about the guy they were looking for. They had profiled. He was burning up and small businesses, minority-owned businesses, and beating the people up and all this kind of stuff. And they profiled him as a white evangelical Christian, narrow-minded Christian, and that would be doing this. And, of course, you know, when they caught the guys, he was kind of looked like a skinhead to me. But anyway, my point is, you know, to put that in there, it kind of shows that may be almost an accepted attitude in our culture a little bit. And I want to kind of clear something up a little bit this morning. And I'm going to try to, and I hope this opens up to more conversation. Tim's looking at me. He doesn't have any idea what I'm going to say this morning. When it comes to true Christianity, and I know here in Marion, Ohio, there are several what people would call, I don't even know if I like to use the word fundamentalists, but Bible-believing and Bible-following followers of Jesus Christ in that form of Christian churches that are very open to everybody. You know, God made all of us. God didn't make us to be white. He didn't make us to be black. He didn't make us to be yellow. He didn't make us to be red. He made us as people. But yet, at the same time, we do have some individuality about us, and I think that's a neat thing. I mentioned on the last show that I did here, it was actually 2 weeks ago, that I love following culture, and I think how important culture is that we've been around, and I love looking at, the more I dig into the roots of my own family, which is from, you know, North Carolina, Virginia area, and some of the neat stuff that went on there, and then and the families, and I'm this close to doing one of those genealogies, you know, because I know a lot of it, but not all of it. I've got a cousin named Brenda that really does a lot of that, and she gives me most of the stuff I need. But in looking at people and where we come from and where our biases are and maybe what's been, I hate to say bred into us, but, you know, it does come down through the family, a lot of stuff that we believe and talk about. My grandmother was a really, we're talking about ghosts before we went on the air, and she really believed, my father's mom, in ghosts. I mean, she believed that hauntings and stuff like that. But when I look into her background and growing up where she did, you remember that a lot of the people in the Appalachian area, they not only had a form of belief of the Word of God, but they also really had a lot of superstitions tied into their belief in all kinds of ways. Don't rock that empty rocking chair, someone's going to die. Don't walk under a ladder and all these kind of things. We're all different, but we're all the same. And we do care. If we're truly the people we need to be, it's not defined by race. It's defined by our heart and where we are. And I wanted to share a little bit this morning because I don't think people are ever quite aware of how much the real church does. Not the perceived church, although sometimes the church plays into those perceptions, is why people have them. I don't think it all comes from there. I think a lot of it comes from, like, the show I saw the other night, where it's interjected into a situation to make someone that has nothing to do with church maybe lean that way, to think that way.
That's Hollywood.
That's Hollywood. And there's good and bad to Hollywood. It's like everything else. I mean, in school, you have good teachers, bad teachers, right? Politicians. That's as far as I go with politicians. You have good ones and bad ones. And some that are just apathetic, and those are the worst kind. That, because you want to know where people stand. Anyway, what I was going to get at is that our association, which is Metro Columbus in Columbus, and it entails about 120 churches, roughly. And then if you come to, like, Central Baptist is in our national association, Central Baptist down 423, but they're in the Toledo Association. And then there's a West Central that goes west. But we're at the far edges. I think we're the farthest church north in Metro Columbus. But we have the Stowe Center, and the Stowe Center's been around for years. And the Stowe Center is on South Parsons Avenue, about a block away from, six blocks away from Children's Hospital. And is housed our association, but also the Stowe Center. And I want to give you some ideas of what they do. And I didn't bring the paper with me. I should have. I'll get to their operations in a minute. But in that building is the Metro Columbus Association. In our association, now, we are white, evangelical, Christian, racist people. I threw that racist in as tongue-in-cheek. I was looking at the list the other day, and I forgot to grab it walking out of my office this morning. But in our association, we have several Bhutanese churches, churches from Burma. We have churches from Vietnam, from Laos. We have churches in Chinese churches. We have Japanese churches. We have Latino churches. There's like 20 churches in our association that are totally ethnic. Not only are they ethnic groups, but they speak their own language, and that's why they have that church, because, you know, that's the language they speak. And for what most people's perception of the church is, they would never dream in a million years that you would have all those people in your association. And when we have associational gatherings and meetings, I meet those people, and everyone's warm and loving and helpful. Those churches could not survive without the help of the people that are not ethnic. You see what I mean? Because they help them get started. In many cases, say for instance, we had a large ethnic population somewhere around here, and our church would say, okay, we're going to hold church at 9 o'clock in the morning. You can have the church at 12. And they'll operate out of the same building. There's a lot of that that goes on, an awful lot of that. There's a Dublin Baptist Church. It just slipped my mind which group's in there. But anyway, I do believe that they are, is it the Chinese church that's in Dublin Baptist? But anyway, the point being that we are not racist, we're not ethnic. We don't hate the people. We don't have disparage them in any way. Actually, it's the opposite of that. And so while there's this picture out there of these Christian people that are just despising ethnic groups and not wanting them in our country and not wanting them around, the truth of the real, true Christian in their heart is just the opposite of that. And and I think it's wonderful what we do. We don't go out there and wave a flag and announce to everybody, hey, look, I want you to count the people that we have in other ethnic groups, because that's not what it's about. It's not about grandstanding. It's about doing what's right and doing it all the time. And I think that's pretty interesting. I don't know of another association that has that, as many different ethnic groups, you know, from the Sudan to you name it. I mean, all over the place. I wish I had that list with me because it's quite interesting. And they're, you know, we help support them and help them keep going, help them to grow. And I think it's pretty neat.
Well, you know, it's, you know what comes to my mind when you bring that up? Because it, do you think there is a strong labeling that goes on that's contradictory to what the truth is?
Absolutely.
Well, this is what I think
I don't want there to be.
Right. But I think this is what we were talking about 2 weeks ago when we actually were talking about broadcasting, which, you know, this is a hybrid of that between church and broadcast to do a show like this, is when we were talking about... I don't like what that person said on radio or television or whatever, so I need to write the sponsor and get them taken off. Now, it's interesting because when I look at this station, and I'm just, this is a microcosm, because we in a given week, we have 15, probably 12 to 15 different people on this station, all doing different shows.
Absolutely.
And nobody is...
Very diverse.
And men, women, all different ages. And nobody is telling them what to do or not to do. Now, if you hear one show of the 15 and you say, take it off the air, then you're stereotyping the whole station, all 14 other people and all 14 other ideas, because you didn't like that one thing. And I think that maybe is what happens in this whole situation. You get one person who you say, oh, no problem. You get one person who might have a belief like that, who is a member of that church group, and so they all must be that way. And I think that happens in broadcast, too. That's why I think it's dangerous. I think changing the channel while that person is on is much better than writing somebody and saying, take them off.
That's what you should do.
Right.
Like
right.
I agree with you. And understand, when you said, do you think that that's pretty widespread? I do, and I don't base it from that show.
Right.
At all. I mean, that particular show, next week I'll watch it again, and they probably won't do that. My point being that it's out there, and it's I see it repeated throughout all of the different networks, the more disparaging look towards people of faith, and I think that a lot of it has been brought on because a lot of the people that really are bad news claim to be part of those of that faith, and understand, you know, the Bible even talks about people that will claim it but won't know it, will claim it but won't live it. And they're false, and I think there's a lot of that going on, but I think that if it wasn't something that was accepted in public somewhat, they wouldn't be able to do it, or there'd be an outrage. And I think that I'll give you another example. There was another show on last night that I was watching, and they were talking about a group of rioting people, and I thought they were very accurate on how they expressed it. What I'm getting at is when I see that they're being late, Christians are labeled that way, even in a drama show, I feel that it's important that people understand that the people they're labeling aren't exactly the name they're labeling them with. And Christians, true Christians, are not those people. Everyone knows the story in the Bible of the Good Samaritan, you know. And we're supposed to be the Good Samaritan. We're supposed to be those that reach out to everyone. And I think that true Christians are. And I hate to see anyone throw the baby out with the bathwater. In other words, all those are Christians, and then label them in a widespread. And I think that in a lot of ways, and George Barna does a lot of good, solid polling. And his polls show nationally and worldwide, the view of Christians is getting worse and worse and worse. And I think a lot of it is because of, one, people aren't attending like they were to see what's really going on. And I'll give you a good example of exactly what I mean. And within the church, I was talking to a lady in Florida a couple years ago. I was down visiting and talking to this lady after church, and she was getting ready to come back to Ohio for the winter or the summer. She would winter in Florida and come back. And I said, "You have a church you attend when you're back home?" And she said, "Well, I try to go to this one church, but I said, I'll tell you what, I know a church that's literally right in your backyard." And I knew these people. They were great, loving, fun people. And she said, "Well, what kind of church is it?" I said, "Well, they're an association. They're affiliated with the Southern Baptist." She went, "Oh, no." She said, "There's no way I would ever go to that church. Those people are crazy." And I thought, where did that come from? You know, it was a stereotype that she put in from information she had gathered without ever being there. And I know that in most of the associations, even in churches, things are very regional. And I know within our association, it's because a lot of it is because of our autonomy. We don't have to be like every other church. That in our association, we have people at every end of the spectrum. You have people that do old-time traditional stuff. You've got what they label as the rock and roll church. You've got churches of all young people, churches of all old people, churches that are a blend, which I like the most. I think that we all should be the church. And so even within our own body, there's people that label depending on, oh, I could never go to that kind of church. I remember a lady that she's been in our church 10 years now, and our affiliation's Baptist, but it's not in our name, Community Christian Fellowship. And she'd been going there for about 3 or 4 months, and someone said something about us being Baptist, and she said, "What Baptist?" She said, "If this is Baptist, I'm not coming back." Well, she's been there now about 10 years. But the point was, it's all from things you hear. So I think it's important why we don't tweak our own horn for all the things we do. I think it's important to let people know this isn't who we really are, but this is. And without condemning or labeling anyone anywhere else, I think people need to know that. Now, Tim, the reason I said Tim don't know what I was going to bring up this morning. Tim, you've volunteered at the Stowe Center, have you not?
I've been there a few times, yeah.
And were you kind of blown away by everything that goes on there, impressed?
Yeah, they do quite a bit of different things to help people out, and it makes no difference who you are.
And they partner with a lot of people, don't they?
I believe so.
I know they partner with Children's Hospital. They partnered with the Salvation Army. They partner with all kinds of groups in Columbus. And what they do is they reach the community. They have dental chairs. They have all kinds of different clinics. They have you can go in there and have a free eye exam and get a free pair of glasses that you go somewhere else to get them. A food kitchen that operates all the time. They have after-school programs for kids to be tutored. All these different things that go on.
They have, one of the good things they got is they teach people job skills, and then they also give them clothes to wear to go to job interviews, so they look like, unfortunately, like everybody else, where you have to look a certain way to get in the door.
Is it Ryan Day? Is it Ryan that is the pro golfer that, his name's Ryan, isn't it? Anyway, a year ago he was the number one golfer on the tour. He partners with them in a great way in their different outreaches, and one of them is in their pregnancy center. And in the pregnancy center, you know, the ladies get ultrasounds. They get help in understanding how to take care of children, parenting classes. They get supplies. They get things to help them. Just all these things that are being done. And I looked at it last year. I was looking at the annual report. Actually, it was from 17, the one I was looking at. And they had a couple $1 million come in, but the way they based it was, there was like $1.2 million that came in maybe from straight donations. But they had another, oh my word, it was like somewhere in the neighborhood of $500,000, a little over or under, I don't remember, of volunteer hours that they put a, you know how they figure that out, they put a price tag on what it would be to have that person by the hour. And even though they were free, they put it in there to show what it would have been. And plus the volunteer donations of goods that came in. And people, I was there the other day. I had to go down and pick some stuff up and have a brief meeting on Wednesday. And the whole time I were there, there were people walking in off the street, getting things they needed and leaving. They have psychologists that you can, if you have a psychological problem, people can, they can set you up for those people. These are all professional people that come in, from the doctors, the dentists, to everyone, and donate their time. And for these people, and it's such a huge outpouring of being the kind of people we're supposed to be. But I wish the world would see more of that and see what we actually do. And it's really great. What a lot of people probably don't realize is that the amount of food and funding that we do. You know, we partner with the Salvation Army and the Red Cross in disasters. And the Salvation, typically the Salvation Army and the Red Cross will supply the goods, and we'll supply, we go in as a team and we supply the services. We have a laundry trailer that is full of washing machines where they can pull it in and nonstop wash clothes all day that people do for them. They have a babysitting service. They have a telecommunications unit that comes in so people can call family and say, hey, I'm okay. There's a shower trailer, which I've taken advantage of many times on mission things, and they have several showers in that trailer. And you just go in, and it's all set up with a hot water tank, and you take a shower and clean up and leave. They have mud out crews, which is the dirtiest part of, that you can imagine, because what those crews do is they go in and they get the, when there's all these torrential rains and floods, people's houses and basements, they go in and mud them out. And there's a chainsaw team that's ready to go. Anytime there's a disaster where trees are down, they're activated. And these, most of these people actually are retired people that say, what do I do now? So they get involved with that outreach program, and they have training. They don't let you go unless you're trained. And because, you know, people get hurt, and they want to make sure they know who's going. But then they'll have a team leader and say there's a huge disaster in West Virginia, or somewhere where there's a tornado. They'll see what different programs and needs that they get on the phone and call their volunteers, and they're activated immediately. And they get a plan together and go to those places. People don't see a lot of that going on. I mean, I honestly, and this one you can fact check on me, they beat FEMA there every time, and it doesn't matter who's in the office, what administration's in there. I mean, they activate now. And it's pretty neat, and if people would see the things that we do, and so you've got, on one hand, you've got the work in your community, which is what the Stowe Center does down there. Now, the Stowe Center can't exactly do up here what they do down there, but we have other, like our church and different places, that operate doing the same type things and networking people and doing things, but we do it up here. But it all was a vision that came through the Stowe Center, which was founded by a man by the name of Stowe, who worked out of an old brick two-story on Parsons Avenue. And that Stowe Center was in that brick two-story up until about 10 years ago. And through the direction of Rich Halcombe, he wanted to do something on a larger scale and with Metro. And Metro Columbus Association was meeting in a little ranch house in Whitehall. And now if you go down, you think, how did this all happen? Well, it was a lot of prayer and a lot of giving and a lot of people. And another thing that they do, they have a soup kitchen every day, a good soup kitchen, really nice. And all the churches in the association volunteer hours and time to do that soup kitchen. They have block parties once a month. Block parties are a wholesome big block party where they have games and food and cooking for anyone in that neighborhood to come and just enjoy themselves in a safe, healthy manner. And, you know, that's a great outreach to people. And it's just so much neat stuff going on. I wish that people could see that rather than always hearing the negative. I don't want to hear of people like, as they're referred to as the, what are they, the group that calls themselves Westboro Baptists protested all of the graves. They aren't Baptists. They just choose the name because to get to be a nonprofit and have an organization. And actually, it's a slap in the face to anyone that truly is a person of faith what they do. I don't see in any way, shape, or form they're acting in any Christian manner. And, you know, in this country, we are free to call ourselves whatever we want. And people will latch on to being a church, and they'll find some, and this is where I think they get the fundamentalists from, a lot of it, is they will take things that are written in the Word of God, in the Bible, and they will take it to it to a direct letter. In other words, you have to understand what's being said in the Bible. You don't just open it up and pick a passage and say, that right there, that's what I believe. Because you got to read what's before it and what's after it, know exactly what was being said. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the examples, you know, deeply studying the Bible and understanding it will bring you to a true knowledge of what it really says. But a lot of these people will grab onto things. Like, you know, the passage about wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. You know, some guy will grab onto that and, you know, wife, you do this and you're going to be barefoot and pregnant. You know, you see all that aspect of it too. That's not what that passage is really talking about. What it means is, before it even says that, it says husbands and wives submit to each other as unto the Lord, okay? So there's a unity, a bond being made. Then it says, wives, submit yourself unto your husband as unto the Lord. So, in other words, let the husband do what he needs to do in your life and in the home. But the next passage says, husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church and gave his life for her. Now, if you love your wife like Christ loved the church, you're literally willing to take it to that degree if you will lay down and die for her. Do you understand now why the wife wants to come along with the husband? And the reason that the Bible puts that order in there is because all things have to have a form of order, or they fall apart. There's always a place where the buck stops. And God chose in his divine wisdom to have the buck stop with the Father. So even though they're commanded to work together and submit to each other, he's commanded to love her so much that he died for her. So obviously he's not going to want her to treat her badly. He's not going to want her to do anything that isn't in her character or she shouldn't do or wouldn't want to do. And she's supposed to agree to that leadership knowing that he's in a godly place and doing what he's doing. So when it all works together, everybody's happy. But that's not the way it's looked at. You pull out, these people will pull out one thing and, you know, and they'll be called, they're a fundamentalist. Well, no, I think what they are is they're someone that pigeonholes something and stands on that. And we see so much of that. And that's the part that gets ugly and gets out there. I would say that in most things in our world that we look at, in organizations, in Boy Scouts, good example of what I'm talking about. I know a lot. Tim, you were a Boy Scout, weren't you?
Yep.
Was your dad a scout leader?
He's a scout leader. He was a commissioner, and he did the whole nine yards.
Okay, so you know that it was a good club, right?
Yes.
There's a lady in our church that her daughter's in the scouts, and she's a scout leader. They love it. But because of a percentage of bad apples, Boy Scouts gets tarnished with a brush. You see what I mean? And it's that way in most things. I think most of the time when you get into things, you're going to see people that are reasonable, that think and care about other people. But then you've got these extreme people. And I think what happens is, you know how we always go back to what sells in media, in everything. Extreme sells. Milk toast doesn't sell. You understand what I mean? And I think that we get to that point of, man, you know, this is... Listen to what these people do. And, you know, the minute somebody does something really off the wall or crazy in this country, they immediately start digging in to see where he's come from, what his background is, what could have possibly caused this. And they and all those things get exploited with it to add to the story. You may not be the first one with the story, but your story may end up being better than the original story, so you work that angle. And that's business. But I just want people to understand that they have to think for themselves. They have to judge for themselves what is reality and what is not reality. And in our society, we're seeing a lot more of people just taking, they're so busy that they take the tidbits they hear, process it, and move on. And maybe I've always just been more of an inquisitive person. I wish everyone was that way. I still say that I think I was born in Missouri because you got to show me the show me state. But I just wish more people would pay attention to the good that goes on. You know, here in Marion, I see some of the programs that go through the Nazarene Church. And I mention them not because I didn't mention some others because I know what they're doing. You know, if I know of another group, I'll mention what they're doing also. I know that there's several good churches in Marion that do some really neat things. And I think that people just need to give it a try, give it a chance. Our church may be rare. I don't know. In today's society, maybe a little bit. Because when I stand there in the pulpit on Sunday, I look out at people. I see people that are accepting, people that are warm, people that really want to do what's right, and people that really want to love other people. And I see a real mixed bag of people, so to speak. We have people from every walk of life and every religious background in our church that have grown up in other denominations and other religions and other, and you know, when you get to the core of what Christ asks us to do, you know, the greatest thing we can have is love, and that love is shown through truth. I don't believe that you can have love without truth. Love does not promote a lie. And that is why sometimes people will say, well, don't judge me. Well, I want you to know the truth because truth is going to win out and truth is going to make you a better person. And it's not my truth. It's not your truth. It's God's truth. And that's what we firmly believe, what God says. And it's not coming up with something out from left field that then we want to force everyone to adapt to. You know, it's funny, Scott, in all the religions in the world, we do know that going on in the Middle East right now, a lot of the extremist religious people there want to force people to convert to their religion. And if people are following it all, Google Voice of the Martyrs, it'll show you there's Christians being slaughtered in this world constantly, especially right now in Nigeria. It's horrible. Boko Haram is just being really bad. But anyway, the interesting thing about Christianity is we can never try to force anyone to be a Christian because it's a choice between you and God. I can present it to you, what it says. I can present that to you, but you got to make that choice whether to do it or not. So it's one of the true, honest faiths that says we can't force you to be it. So we're not going to try to force you to be it. And I know that that's one of the arguments you hear sometimes, is people will say, well, you just want to force everyone to be a Christian. That could be further, nothing could be further from the truth, because you can't force anyone to do anything. It's not religion, it's a faith. You see the difference? Somebody could start coming to our church and they could join the church, get baptized, take communion, do all the things to look like they're part of the church. But unless they've surrendered their life to Christ and accepted his free gift in their heart of what he's done in their life and follow him, they're not one. They can look like it, but they're not one. I mean, so it's an individual thing. And the other neat thing is, you know, you can accept Christ and say you're in a position where you never can go to church. You never can. It doesn't matter. You've still followed Christ, and that's what's important. So I think looking at the reality of what the church really is would really make people want to stop and pause at the attitude towards it. What do you think?
Well, I think that's right. I think it's a weird thing that happens in society, because any group, you talked about Boy Scouts there. Now, there have been some bad episodes there with the Boy Scouts.
Yep.
But the problem is if you do make mention of it, then something like what you're saying can happen. The Boy Scouts get painted bad. But if you don't mention it, people will say, are you trying to cover that up? The Catholic Church, trying to cover that up, not reporting on that. And that's what you get. You get it both ways.
You really do. I know that within our national association, I know they try to be very diligent about if somebody steps out of line, especially in a sexual way. There isn't, okay, let's be better. And no, it's, you're done. It has to be. You have to be very strict on certain things. And not that God doesn't forgive. God forgives everything. But believe me, if you're caught doing that, you're never going to work with children again. I can promise you that much.
You know,
and I think that we need to be more policing in that way.
You know, it's interesting, though. I think a lot of this happens. It's not so much in the group's mind, and I don't even think it's so much in the people who are reporting its mind. Because if you, like educators, for example, teachers, or college professors, let's say college professors, if you found out tomorrow, let's say the newspaper, the local newspaper found out that a college professor at a local campus was having an inappropriate relationship with a student, they would report that. And they would say, this is a college professor at such and such university.
Right.
Now, that does not mean that all professors at that university are doing what that person does. And I don't think the inference from the reporter was that.
Exactly.
And I don't think that the group is saying the bad. It's the person hearing it who now says.
It's mentality.
Now they say, oh, everybody must be bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. You get it both ways. You just have some people that are. What you run into a lot of times is people that are anti that. I'll give you an example of what I mean. Within our denomination, say in Prospect, for instance, we've got two different types of Baptists. You've got Methodist and a Lutheran church, okay? If word comes out that in our association anything negative is going down politically or anything else within it, people in another denominations cannot wait to get that online for people to read. Because look what that church's people are doing, you know, because, well... And it's horrible. My dog's better than your dog, and your dog's terrible. And the point is, what we have to realize is that within all of our denominations are shortcomings. And it's not about the denomination. It's about what's in your heart and who you are and what you stand on in it, truth-wise. And believe me, I could dig up dirt on any church I wanted to dig up dirt on, because you can. But honestly, Scott, if we're true Christians, we're not out there to dig up dirt. Now, Jesus, for example, Jesus didn't go digging up dirt. He knew what was what. He referred to the Old Testament and Scripture. But he was real quick to tell people exactly what the truth was and bring them to a halt. And, you know, it was real interesting. If you read the New Testament, you will see that Jesus' condemnation in his speaking was directed more at the church than anyone else. Isn't that interesting?
Mm.
It wasn't the sinful people over here that are living a pagan lifestyle, because you know that's going to happen. They're not hiding it. This is who they are. It's when the church tries to look like they're in white robes, and as it's put, they're just dead men's bones. Or you see what I mean? And Jesus just called that out all day long. Because, look, if you're going to be the church. Don't call yourself that and be something else. And if all of us were doing that, we wouldn't, instead of say that, I found out today from one of the many news sources that something horrible was going on in the Lutheran church across the street. Or in that, you know what you do? You pray for God's hand in that association. And you pray for what's going on. It's not about spreading dirt. It's not about making people to go, aha! The ha factor's huge in promoting all kinds of things in our country. You know, some people will listen to your show, Scott, and they're listening to it waiting for that aha moment because they've got a preconceived idea about where you come from and they want to put a stamp on it. Does that make sense?
Oh, it happens all the time.
Now, I can say that that I'm listening. And you make a statement, I can think to myself, I don't quite agree with that, but let's go on beyond that and keep going. And you know, we should be doing a lot more of that rather than looking. There's some people in our association right now that are really being dragged through the mud. Nothing sexually or money-wise or anything like it, just doctrinal issues. And 90% of why they're being dragged through the mud is because somebody took two or three words out of an entire interview or a speech and expounded on those to the point that this person looks like the devil when it's furthest from the truth. And people will take that and they'll run with it. It doesn't do anyone any good.
No, and that's usually where the rubber hits the road. You know, I think when you know somebody and some kind of accusation is made or something is said or words are used or whatever it is, I think most people know what the truth is. But there are very vindictive people who their whole goal in life is to cause...
Stir the pot.
Yeah, stir the pot, and it works in groups. Everybody feels in some way like they're in some kind of competition with everybody else.
We've made things so competitive. You know, we don't have intramural sports anymore. We've got teams, and everything seems to be a competition, and it shouldn't be. We will reward people for things that they should just be a natural thing they do. Yeah, we really get into that. And I think a lot of things, if you want to go a little bit deeper on this, I think a lot of it is that most people are dealing with some form of feeling of insufficiency or a poor self-esteem. And if they can tear you up or tear someone else down, psychologically that tells them, that boosts them up. But that's not in reality how it really works. Because ultimately what will happen is that person that is constantly condemning someone else and looking for that, everyone goes look at them as, man, they really got an attitude.
And that's what people do. But you know what also the flip side of that is? The person who's on the receiving end of that, even if something bad happens to them, the effect that the person wanted doesn't happen. Because a personality is a personality. If your personality is to be reflective and your personality is to be optimistic and your personality is to be forward instead of looking back, you're not going to wallow in something bad.
No, you can't. No. Because it stymies you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when Jesus told, it was Peter, you know, when the Spirit came and told him, you know, if they don't listen, shake the dust off your sandals and move on. And it's kind of that thing. Don't waller in stuff that's going to hold you back. Pick up and always be looking forward all the time. You know, to give you an example, and I don't know who did this, so I'm not tearing anyone up. But in Marion, a couple years ago, we had some people that were making signs about, didn't it say like Marion is heroin or what was this?
Oh, yeah, what were those? It's heroin is Marion's economy.
Yeah, heroin is Marion's economy. Yeah. And I don't know who was doing that, and I don't care who was doing it. But they were putting those signs up everywhere. Was that doing anything positive for Marion, Ohio? No, it was not. I think the people were well aware of the heroin issue. That is everywhere. And there were people working diligently on that problem. I know that Marmot was just working around the clock in different groups. And we had something that used to be called the Opiate Task Force, which has kind of been morphed into a couple other things in Crawford County and Marion. But there are so many people working on that situation. You know, to degrade Marion to that point, everyone drives through Marion, sees a sign that says heroin is Marion's economy, that's counterproductive to whoever was doing it. And I'm sure they spent a lot of money to do it because there were a lot of signs out.
Yeah, it was a calculated campaign by the people who did it. But you know, it's also interesting because the good people in Marion, who you would say, well, they didn't do that, they also don't condemn it because they don't want people to dislike them. And there's a big, that's a whole, you know, we can't cover that in 2 minutes, but that's a whole issue of, I'm always fascinated by, we'll say, well, that's a good person. And I'm not saying they're not a good person. Maybe they are. But if you never speak out against anything, and you have no reason other than gain, and a lot of time...
It's not a good person.
No, and I'm it always... sometimes people are just furniture. You know, they're well-known furniture.
Well-known furniture.
They're just furniture.
And it's sad, Scott, because people need to... look, if you're not addressing the problem, they say you're part of the problem. And that's the problem, too. Oh, I just don't want to get involved. Man, stand up and be so. If you have a conviction, follow it. If you really think this is the way the world needs to be, follow it.
I do think there's a pick your battles type of thing. But but I don't think you can never have an opinion on anything because you don't want to tick anybody off.
And I think there's people that pick battles and drive them and keep driving them and driving them to where they lose their effectiveness too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If everything's an atrocity, then nothing is.
If I stood on the steps of the courthouse every day and said, you know, the mayor's an idiot. Pretty soon people are going to look at that guy and say, mayor must be pretty good to tolerate this. That guy's an idiot. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
And that's kind of the way that works. But I guess we're winding down here. How much time do we have, Scott?
We got about 1 minute.
1 minute. I just wanted to get across today that, you know, there's every aspect of life, we are people. And we're going to make mistakes, and we're going to not always do something right. But I do want people to know that within the church, within the true church, people are loving people. They don't dislike minorities. Matter of fact, they embrace them. They embrace people that are hurting. They try to help. And I hope at Community Christian Fellowship and Prospect, we always stay that way. I know they will as long as I'm there, because I won't be there if we don't.
And this show will repeat on Sunday morning, 8:10 to 9 a.m., and Wednesday, 3:10 to 4. It's on the website, wwgh1071.com. And we'll be back next Friday with another live episode, 11:10 a.m. till 12 p.m. Have a good week. The list goes on and on. She is amazing, the amazing Pat Carroll. Pat, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Scott. Now I'm going to have to be a because you said so much about me nice. But Scott, it's one of the easiest things.